I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Nehemiah, please. The book of Nehemiah. Find Nehemiah chapter 2. If you have a cell phone on, make sure you turn it off. And if it has to be on, put it on vibrate. And that way it doesn't interrupt the preaching of the Word of God. Remember, if you must step out, don't use the front doors. Use the back so you don't interrupt the preaching of the Word of God. And I want us to always be careful. Every once in a while, we get a little pocket of people get to laughing and carrying on during the preaching. I might not ever say anything about it, but it bothers me every time that happens because I want you to listen to what I'm saying. To me, every sermon is life or death. It might not be to you, but it is to me. So let's give our attention to the preaching of the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 2. Stand with me, if you will, please. We're going to read out loud. But before I even read the scripture, look back this way, if you will. As you know, we've gone through a growth process over the last many, many months. We filled our building when we were on Trent Road to the point where we just couldn't get any more people in it. And so we came over here thinking that our auditorium would last us for a couple of years. We came, and within weeks, the crowd had swollen, and now again, we are packed out to the point where we have people sitting in every chair. We flow on Sunday mornings all the way out into the auditorium, and so we're getting ready to gut a part of the building, and we plan to do a 2,400 square feet auditorium. We think it'll seat somewhere between 250, maybe 300 people, depending on how we structure the internal parts of it. Not only that, we're building this hallway, another project that's a big deal. Upstairs, we've got to tear some walls down and move some things around to accommodate the youth department and other things that we're doing. So we're in the process of, and have been, a building program. I call the sermon tonight, So Built We the Wall. Now, tonight, I was going to say swing from the chandeliers, but we don't have any of those here. But if you're expecting tonight that I was going to get wild and loud, and I know you like it when I do that sort of stuff, but tonight it won't be the case. I need to preach to us and teach us and instruct us in a very practical way about the fact that we're getting ready to go into a building program. Nehemiah chapter 2, starting with verse number 17, the scripture says this, Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn, and despised us, and said, What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them, and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, no memorial in Jerusalem. Now, go to chapter 4 and look at one verse with me, Nehemiah 4, verse number 6. And this statement is made, So built we the wall, and all the people was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Oh my, there's so much teaching in there. So much teaching in there. The hand of God was upon them. It was evident. The hand of God was upon Nehemiah. It was evident. And they had a mind to work. And they said, We are not going to let this place go to ruin. We're going to make a difference. That's the scripture that will lead us into the practical teaching of tonight. But let's get God in on this thing. Let's pray. Father, I need you. Strengthen my voice. Strengthen my mind. May I preach tonight, not in my personality, but in thy blessed Holy Spirit. Control what I think, control what I say. But God, that won't be enough. Control what your people hear. Get honor to thyself. And God, though the sermon, you know, it's so practical, but is yet so important to the propriety and the way we handle ourselves during the building, the construction, and the things that are forthcoming for our church. Holy Ghost of God, reach down from heaven, make a difference in our church, strengthen our church, prolong the revival because of what's said in this building this night. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat there, if you will. The story is the story of Nehemiah 14 years after Ezra returns to Jerusalem. He allows Nehemiah to lead a group of people to restore the walls around the city. In verse 18, the Bible says the hand of God was upon them. In verse 18, they said, let us rise up and build. In verse 18, the Bible says that they strengthened their hands for this good work. See, God wanted them to be strong for the work. God wanted them to be strong emotionally. God wanted them to be strong physically. God wanted them to be strong spiritually. But in verse 19, two ornery critters by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah decided they would oppose the building, the growth, and they even laughed and laughed them to scorn. There will be people in this day and age that will laugh. You talk about a church having a revival, and people say, oh, that's silly. That's a thing of the past. Well, I've got news for them. Revival is still available today. The problem is people won't pay the price of revival, but I think it's available. And they said to Sanballat and Tobiah, the critical ones, Sanballat and Tobiah, the ones that opposed Sanballat and Tobiah, the ones that drug their feet while everybody else was going forward, they said, the God of heaven will prosper us. And may I say to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, I think the God of heaven will prosper us as well. Now they face some different kinds of opposition, but I love it. By the time you get to verse number 15, it reads like this. So the wall was finished in the 25th day. You know what happened? They finished what they started. And that's the way it ought to be, especially in God's work. Now, we're soon approaching the time when we're going to do the work here on our new building. We bought the building knowing that we would have to eventually have a larger auditorium. That only came 2 years sooner than what we really thought. I've got to tell you, we really thought this auditorium would hold us and we would hold out for a couple of years. The very day we opened up this auditorium, the entire thing was full. If y'all remember that day, the foyer was completely packed. It was miserable. It was 230, 240 people the first day we opened the new auditorium. Now, I didn't make that happen. You didn't make that happen. God made it happen. And I thank God can still make things happen. Now, but we're going to need to do some work on our new building to adjust and to accommodate. I prefer that you have what they call a turnkey contract. You know, you say, what's that mean? When it comes to building things, you kind of turn things over to a company, you hire them. When they're done, they hand you a key and everything's finished. That's a little easier, but it's a little more expensive. And we can't afford to do that with everything. We'll do that some, but we can't afford to do that with everything. But I want to do this. I want to warn us and guide us through the events that are forthcoming. Did you know something? You know that a building program can destroy the spirit of a church. It can hurt a church. I don't want our testimony among ourselves to be damaged. We have a great spirit here. People are happy here. We didn't have to come to church tonight. We wanted to come to church tonight. We're not miserable serving God. We're enjoying serving God. I don't want to lose that. There's no new auditorium on the face of the earth that would hold any value compared to the importance of the spirit of the church and God's hand being on the church. I don't want to hurt our testimony among the people out in the world. You know, when there are contractors and people coming in and out of our building, I want them to see something unique and special about the people of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Hey, I don't want the people in the community to hear that the church got to fussing over something stupid like what color to paint a wall or what the carpet was going to look like. Those sort of things are silly. Those sort of things are juvenile. Those sort of things are carnal. They can become sinful. I don't want that. I don't want people on the inside to be miserable with each other. I don't want people on the outside to look at us and say, look at that batch of so-called Christians over there acting like a bunch of silly, juvenile, untrained people. I don't want that. Now, I've been around some building programs. I started preaching when I was 16 years of age. This year, I will be 56. Oh, I hate to say that. I will be 56 years of age. And I've been around. I've been around churches. I've never been in anything but a growing church. I've never known anything but churches experiencing revival, and they were growing. And I'm glad. I'll tell you why I'm glad. I'm glad because of what I've seen in regard to growing churches. The first church that we went to, we started out in a two-car garage. I helped my pastor. We were out knocking doors and trying to build a brand new church, and all he had was a house in which he lived, and he had a 2-car garage. He pulled the cars out of it, threw a bunch of old steel chairs down, had one of those old upright pianos. You know, those great big mamas that weigh about 18 million pounds. We had one of those. He had a pulpit on wheels. He could slide it out and preach out of it. And we started to, and we filled that 2-car garage. That's where Mrs. Owens and I grew up as Christians, in an old 2-car garage. And it was a wonderful thing. Had a great spirit. The church grew to the point where we bought 4 acres of land. And a school, a public school near us, got hit by a tornado, tore the school to the ground. The government brought in some prefab mobile school units and used them while they were rebuilding the school. Then they auctioned off those units when the new school construction was finished. We bought them, took those units apart, brought them out to our new 4 acres of ground, put a foundation in, and the men of the church built our building that way. In that church, when we were in the 2-car garage, you walked in and you said, "There's something different in the air. It's Sunday around here." And we said, "Wow, it's incredible." We loved that 2-car garage. The spirit was in it. But I'm going to tell you the truth. We didn't do well. We didn't transfer the good spirit from the 2-car garage to the new building. We moved the people, but not the good spirit. We moved the piano, but not the good spirit. We moved the pews, but not the good spirit. I said to myself as a young preacher boy, uh-oh, something happened. You know what happened? All the people that were a part of the building program, they just didn't guard their spirits well. They didn't handle themselves well. You know what they did? During a building program, during a revival, for the sake of the revival, they ruined themselves. I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see that happen. I want to make sure we learn from it. I served at the world's largest Sunday school for 18 years. In those 18 years, we did 18 different building programs. One a year. I watched what worked. I watched what didn't work. I hope that we get to glean from that here in our church. My last church. When I took the church, the auditorium was too big for us, but we grew into it pretty quickly. And there were walls built everywhere. And every time we'd grow to the point where we couldn't get any more people in the auditorium, I'd tear another wall down. And then we'd grow, and then I'd tear another wall down. Some of you know, you watched it, and we'd grow again until we couldn't get any more people in there, and I'd tear another wall down. And it got to the point where that big auditorium that would seat 1,000 people, we just couldn't get any more people in it. We had a program where we were getting ready to build a couple thousand seat auditorium. We also built a 25,000 square foot educational building, 4 stories high. It was huge. And we did it from start to finish. But here's what I want to tell you. When we did all of that, we went from good spirit into the new facility, good spirit. That's what you want. That's what you want. We ought to do everything decently and in order. It ought to be that way. Now, in this story of Ezra and Nehemiah, they were in a building program. I'm glad they finished what they started. I'm glad they did what was supposed to be done. Folks, let me make something clear, and then I'm going to get so practical, it just can't get much easier than what I'm about to say in the next few minutes. But the new auditorium, the new building, it is not all about status in the community. It's not all about the church's property value. And I don't think of our church in the terms of portfolio. I'm not worried about all that. Now, we want to make wise moves. Of course, you all know our building is worth 3 times what we paid for it. And we know that. But let me make something clear. This isn't all about status. This is not all about impressing the Joneses. This isn't all about keeping up with the other churches in town. This is all about people and God. I want God to be pleased, and I just want to help people. Hey, Thank God we've got a nice facility. But had God given us a barn that was big enough and a facility and a barn, that'd be fine with me too. Because all I want is some place where we can preach the Word of God, keep people out of hell, feed the poor, be good to people, and I'm not trying to impress anybody. You say, why? Hey, the big move that we're really going to make someday is going to be to heaven. And when we get there, all the universe is going to be impressed with the facilities up there. Right now, down here, it's just practicality. Down to earth, get the rubber, meet the road. Let's make something happen. So it doesn't matter to me where we are. It just matters to me that we got enough room to do what God wants us to do. Now, we're getting ready to go into a building program. We're getting ready to start swinging hammers. We're getting ready to build. So I'm going to give you some very practical things that I need us all to be aware of. First of all, everybody can't be the leader. All right? So there has to be someone to lead this project. Now, ultimately, the buck stops at my desk, but I'm too dumb to do most of what needs to be done. So I'll lean on a couple of people to help me. Brother Young, Brother Nofsinger, they lead the two crew of men that take care of maintenance in and outside this building. They'll be helping an awful lot. Now, you're going to have to understand, you have to let them lead. You say, I'm smarter than them. So who's not? But God told me to oversee the New Testament church. I'm saying to those two fellas, help me and help me lead this thing. So you got to let them lead. You need to show respect. Let's let them. Somebody's got to be a decision maker. Help them, serve them. Hey, listen. Don't make the people work of a project like this more strenuous than the construction project. Right. Having to deal with attitudes all the time and people that can't submit. And people that don't know how to follow. You say, but I'm just a born leader. You're a born knucklehead is what you are. If you're a real leader, then you're a good follower. The ultimate in leadership is being able to follow. And if you say, well, I'm just better at leading. Well, you're going to have a hard time in heaven. Because you're going to shut up and do everything you're told in heaven. So you might as well adjust. But most of you married men, you know how to follow. Okay. All right, so number one, there has to be a leader. Those guys will help. And if for some reason myself or one of those two men aren't around, we may deem someone to lead at the moment. You say, you know what that means? We're just going to follow. Because if there's not a leader, you'll have a mess. Number two, we need to keep up our spiritual church duties while we're busy with the physical aspect of the building program. You say, what's that mean? I need you to keep visiting your bus route. I need you to keep up your Sunday school class. I need you to keep coming to men's prayer meeting. I need you to keep up your soul winning. I need you to keep up with your choirs and all of that. You see, it is our success in all the spiritual areas and our regular duties that has created the need for the new auditorium and the need for the construction. Now, if we go going after the construction and forget about the souls of men and helping the poor, now we have just ruined the whole purpose of the program. So keep up your spiritual duties. You say, well, preacher, I'm a busy person. I won't have time to help on the construction project and visit my bus route. Then that's an easy call. Visit your bus route. I'm more interested in people than the building. So understand, number one, there has to be a leader. Number two, we need to keep up our regular church duties. Number three, keep up your personal walk with God. Stay close to God. We won't have a bunch of problems as long as you stay close to God. It'll better help with unity in our church and our attitudes than anything else. You say, what does this mean? Read your Bible. Say, preacher, I am so busy. I work so many hours at work, and I put all that time in on the construction of the church. I didn't have time to read my Bible. Then whatever you do, don't work on the wall if you don't have time to read your Bible. Because you reading your Bible and staying close to God is more important to me than you swinging a hammer, putting a few screws in the drywall, and helping me to wire a light. Wouldn't it be tragic if, because of a revival, we started a building program, and you ceased to have personal revival, and we lost you as a part of the construction program? We don't want that. Make sure you read your Bible. Make sure you pray. Make sure you keep up your soul winning. A walk with God will lessen the tempers. A walk with God will lessen the impatience. A walk with God will lessen the negative talk. And let me tell you something. As we work around the church here, and we're not necessarily in a church setting, standing around and criticizing people won't float with me. By the way, I don't need you standing around criticizing other churches, other people, each other. If you can't come and have a good attitude, just stay home. So negative talk, negative attitude, that's not going to do us any good. But I will say, your walk with God is imperative for us to have a revival while we're in a building program. Number four, you can't let the building supplies take the place of your tithes and offerings. Volunteer, you have to understand volunteer. Volunteer help. You have to understand volunteer in regard to donation. The tithe, that's at God's discretion. And here's what you got to do. If you donate a roll of wire, I really need you not to say, I gave that, now that's my tithe. I need you to give your tithe, and if you want to give something above your tithe and go buy a two before, fine. But we've got to be careful if we're not careful, and everybody just decides, well, I'm just going to give my money to the building program, and I'm not going to tithe. Number one, that wouldn't be scripturally appropriate, but number two, then how are we going to pay for it? All right? Then, number five. I hate to tell you this, but people are going to make mistakes. Do you know Rick Young? Brother Young's going to make a mistake somewhere along the way. You know Nofsen? He's going to make a mistake, and God knows, worse than both of them, me. We're going to make mistakes. Now, if you're one of those people, you're a really good criticizer, but you're not much of a producer. Well, I might ask you this. I wonder how many people in here have ever built a church building. I wonder how many of you have ever led a congregation of volunteers that are thick-headed, old-fashioned fundamentalists through a process like this. Fundamentalists are fickle. We're bullheaded, strongly opinionated. We're always right. You've got to lead people like that all the time. Now listen, Brother Young, he may make a mistake, but I'll promise you this, it won't be a malicious on purpose mistake. Brother Nofsinger, he may make a mistake, but it won't be malicious. Did you know somebody sitting near you may make a mistake? But I don't think they made the mistake because they were a Sanballat or a Tobiah that was trying to hurt the work. So let's not be negative, but be supportive. When people make mistakes, you say, what do? We fix it. And you say, well, I'll teach them. Now, if you'll let me do the disciplining in the church, it'll probably go far better. If somebody needs corrected, I promise you, I'll take care of it. I might not humiliate them publicly like you would, so you get the vainglory of being chief for a moment. But just be careful. We will make mistakes. Number six, don't waste the Lord's money during the program. Be thrifty. This isn't a big construction firm that's got all sorts of money. Don't waste nails. Don't limit your mistakes. Think before you act, because we've got to be careful with how we handle things. I've told you time and time again, I don't lie to you about our finances. We're healthy financially. We're not rich. We're healthy. We'll get through this thing, but we've got to be careful. The mistakes that we make, let's be careful. It could cost us enough that it will slow us down, so just be careful. Number seven, You have to understand something. We're not hiring you to do the work. It's by way of donation. The members of our church, when you come in, if you thought you were going to keep track of all your hours and at the end bring me a piece of paper that says I work 60 hours, what are you paying me? I'll have to say, I'll give you a pat on the back and see if that'll do you. You need to understand that up front. Number eight, you use your own tools and equipment at your risk. The church, now we have built up a lot of things. I mean, we're purchasing. I most of the time, I won't rent if I can buy. We own our chairs. We own our pianos. We own all nine pianos that we own. We own our vehicles. And I'll do that. I want to buy. I want us to own. But we do not have a great big collection of tools. We'll figure it out as we go. But I will tell you this. If you bring your tools in and you bring your equipment in, it'll be at your own risk. If you loan a tool, realize the risk. It could be broken. It could be lost. If you borrow a tool, make sure you return it. And I wouldn't loan what doesn't belong to you unless you're willing to be responsible for it. Say, preacher, you told me not to give my tools if I were worried. I didn't. I loaned my boss's tools to you. Now listen, you're going to get me in a jam. I know you were thinking there. Treat all the tools as if they're your own. And remember, if Brother Young brings in a tool and you're borrowing it, indeed, he took the risk, but treat it like it's your own. And for some of you that don't know how to treat tools, you watch. You be careful. There's a right and a wrong way to treat a tool. And when somebody spent their whole life gathering their tools, last thing they want is to see somebody abusing them. But remember, we need tools. We need you to bring your tools. But there's some risk involved. You say, I'm not sure I want a risk. Now, I'm going to say this, but I want you to understand something about me. I personally don't feel like I own anything. I think God owns everything that I have, and it's on loan to me. That's how I feel about it. Now, I'm responsible to take care of it, but you, be careful being overly possessive with what God truly... Someday I need to preach a sermon on stewardship. Everything you have is really God's. You'd do better if you'd realize that. Number 9, let somebody correct you. Be teachable. Be teachable. Say, well, we never do it that way. Okay. Okay. We're going to do it that way. But we're going to do it that way. And you know what you need to do? You need to say, okay. All right, I'm a team player. And let me tell you something. In a church like ours, you will end up failing if you can't learn to be a team player. If you have to wander off and go do your own thing all the time, you won't work out around here. You won't. Sooner or later, you're going to have conflict. So let someone correct you. Be moldable. Be teachable. Hey, be easy to lead. Be a good Christian. Doesn't that sound good? Oof! Be a good Christian while we do this. Number 10, control your temper. No fits. No, I'm taking my tools and going home. We'll take your ball and your bat with you. Give me some advice. Sing while you work. Pray for our church while you work. So you all know, the auditorium in the hallway is not worth losing one member over. Not one. And we're all going to try to get along. There may come a tense moment. You say, what do I do? Well, you guard your spirit. And if you owe somebody an apology, you give it. You don't storm off and quit the church because somebody was swinging a hammer the way you didn't think they ought to swing it. That's dumb. But we need to grow up a little bit in Christianity. But I say to you, control your temper. Next, learn to be a team player. Serve others. Clean up after yourselves. And I'm going to say this on behalf of the custodial crew and everyone. We've got to keep things clean around here. Take, for instance, we're going to tear some walls down upstairs. When we do it, we're going to seal off the rooms in which we work. And I don't want dust all over the building. And I've been around people that do construction professionally. Sometimes they can just be pigs while they do it. I'm guarding a church building, and I'm going to keep a church functioning while we're here. I don't need all these chairs filled with dust. I don't need dust all over the building. We're going to plastic things up. It might be a little inconvenient, but I don't need the whole building to be filthy and have to have a 24-hour-a-day crew cleaning up after everybody all the time. So we've just got to work together. We got to clean up. Be sure you look at your work area, and you don't leave a mess for the next person coming along. Pitch in and help where it's needed. Number 12. If we have church music while we're here, you need to understand something. If it's not the kind of music that we would allow to be played on this PA system, you know how we play music before and after the service? Don't bring it here. Don't bring your contemporary or your Christian rock or any junk like that in here and try to play it while we're working. I won't allow that. I'm not for that. So just remember that. Number 13. If you're easily offended, stay home. You know, if you're always offended about something, you're just an emotional basket case all the time because of all those stupid people in life, you might be better off staying home because we're all stupid people around here. Better yet, get control of yourself and come. Your relationship with God is more important than that building, and your relationship with God's people is more important than a construction project. Every once in a while, there's somebody that just shouldn't get involved because they can't handle being involved until they've grown in the Lord to where they can be around people, face a couple tense things, not get their way, not get to lead. But if you're going to be offended, and you're just constantly offended, I'd be careful getting too deeply involved. Next. If you're a know-it-all, stay home. And maybe better yet, just get a humble attitude and learn to follow. Don't let pride soil the project. Next, be flexible. Be flexible. Folks, things will change. We are not the parts that we'll do together. Things will change. We're not a bunch of professional construction people. So we might head down a path and say, you know, we need to adjust this a little. You're just going to have to learn to be flexible. We're going to have to learn all to work together. We'll have to accept change with a good attitude. Let's be flexible. Let's lead others to be flexible. There should never be a time when we're taking sides during it all. And the minute you're taking sides, you got an issue. You're standing the chance of hurting the unity of the church. Number 16, and we're near the end. Be careful. Folks, we need to be healthy. You have to be healthy to serve God. We don't need people being silly in how they work and taking chances. We don't need somebody to get hurt and then some lawsuit to come upon the church because you got hurt. Now, if somebody gets hurt, God knows, we'll do what we can to be of a service to them and all. But just don't hurt yourself or anybody else. Don't take unhealthy chances. Let's be careful as we work. Number 17, don't be offended if you don't get to do everything you want to do. Now, I don't think the case will be that you'll feel shortchanged, but sometimes we'll get so busy on a particular project that we don't get to participate as much. Our church, I love this. I said to everybody, we need to unload the truck with all the 2x4s and the drywall on Thursday. Had you been here, my biggest concern was there were so many men here, everybody got to carry one 2x4. It was that way. At the end, I was handing one 2x4 to each person, you know, say, take a lap around the church a couple times with that thing so you sweat and you feel like you participated. Now, if for some reason you don't get to help as much, don't be offended. We don't want it to be that way. Just be patient. You know, there's some parts of the project that someone with a little more skill is needed. Some parts of the project, it's just manual labor. But just don't be offended if you don't get to do all that you want to do. And then be dependable. You know, show up when you say you're going to show up. If you promise to do something, follow through, or at least let us know that you can't. Then, let me tell you this. The environment, for the most part, won't be safe for the children. Now, the teenagers, they'll be able to help some. But the little ones, you say, I want to train my 4-year-old. Here at the church, when you've got a construction crew underway, that wouldn't be a good time for that. And I do want you to train your boys and teach them how to swing a hammer and all of that. But we've got to be careful. If we got little ones, little tots running everywhere during the construction, it'll just slow things down. Now, other instructions will be forthcoming. Tonight, I've spoken a lot to the men, the teenage boys, but even to the ladies. You say, well, what can we do? Well, there might be days when we'll have big work days. We'll ask you to help us maybe with food. There'll be cleanup work. There'll be, we're going to do some painting. And I might say, ladies, just keep a good spirit through it all for us. That will help. Encourage your husband as he's involved. Encourage your teenage boys to get involved. And this is good training because I just have a hunch that we'll get our hallway done. We'll get our auditorium done. And there's a slight chance in the future we might need to do something like this again. And so you say, well, what would that depend on if we'll stay right with God? And number two, if we can prove to God that we can build a 300-seat auditorium and have a good attitude, maybe he'd let us build a 500-seat auditorium. But if you can't have a good attitude when you build the smaller one, why should he give you a bigger one? If you won't do right when you're smaller, why would he believe you're going to do right when you're larger? Let's prove to God we're a good investment. The sermon, I realize, extremely practical. But he said, so built they the wall. So build we, the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Let's keep the right attitude all the way through this. I don't want to be an illustration in the community. You hear? I start a building program out there. Destroyed them. I don't want some preacher stand up in 10 years and say, you hear about Twin Rivers Baptist Church? It was underway with an incredible revival. They started a building program, and it fell apart. The revival stopped because a building was being built, or an auditorium was being built. Let's do this the right way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me explain something. You're what it's all about. You heard me say earlier, this is all about people and the souls of men. If you're not saved tonight, why don't you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? The reason we have this building, the reason we want to do these things is so we can help people. And there's no greater way that we could be a help to an individual than to help them to Jesus, help them get born again. If you're not saved, why don't you come and get saved tonight? But then, let me say, there's some of you, you're going to help with the project. You're planning on getting involved. It might be that it'd be a good idea for you to leave your seat tonight during the invitation, come down here and get on your knees and say, oh God, help me to lead right. Oh God, I'm going to have a part. I'm going to be down there. I'll be hammering nails. I'll be painting. I'll be wiring. It'd be good if the men would get on their knees and say, God, I want to be a positive contributor, not a negative. Some of you need to decide right now you're going to stay close to God during the project. Even ladies, the encouragement, the cleaning, the help, the painting, there'll be parts that you'll do. Why don't you decide now that we'll keep the revival going while we accommodate the facility for the expansion that the revival's bringing? Who here would say, preacher, there's no doubt. In the sermon tonight, there was something for me. God spoke to my heart. It's going to help me. It's going to help me to do right during the building program. And God specifically helped me to see something I need to see. Would you raise your hand? Let God see it. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Now, if you need the altar, don't be afraid to use it tonight. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You need to come and pray and say, God, I do struggle a little bit with my walk, and I got to walk with you during this thing. Or God, I can have a temper problem. God, I can be a know-it-all. God, you've had someone tell me before, I got to have my way. I'm not a team player. Always got to launch out, go do my own thing. You might want to come pray. Say, God, help me now. Help me not to do that. Help me to do my part. Help me to be humble. Are you a good follower? Hey, if in the past you've always had to be a solo artist, it might be a reason why. Maybe you couldn't get along with anybody. Well, that won't cut it around here, and it especially won't help us during days like this. We need team effort, unity in the church. We don't need husbands and wives fussing about this thing in their home. We don't need church members fussing. And we don't have that around here. I'm not trying to fix something. I'm not even predicting it will happen. Sermons like this preface it. They prepare us. They lead the way. We just want it to be smooth, calm, productive. Really, I want to get it over with so we can get back about the main thing. Main thing's running them buses. The main thing's preaching the gospel. The main thing's feeding the poor. The main thing is keeping people out of hell. This building just gets, it's a blessing, but when you got to do things like what we're about to do, it can slow it down a little. I'm not all about a building. I'm all about building people. This is the last time through the song. We'll pray and be on our way.